Sitchin's books are really a marvel. Reading them is like going through some kind of initiation, because if you weren't aware before, you will be after you read them, or even just say read the 12th planet. That we may very well be descendants, in part, of some ancient alien race, the Anunnaki, that came to this planet some possibly 450,000 years ago. They were in distress. They needed something we had. Gold. Yes. Fix their atmosphere. A race that supposedly, according to Sitchin, is, or rather, lives on the 12th planet that we don't see, but every, I don't know, 3,600 years or something. Due to the fact that it's got some strange elliptical orbit around our sun. And, it's usually so far out in space in this long extended elliptical orbit that it has that we don't see it. It's not a big enough celestial body for us to detect until it gets much closer than it indeed has been for some time. Who knows, it may be coming back soon. And things could very well get very interesting at that point. And as strange as the story sounds, Mr. Sitchin backs it up with a lot of evidence that really has to, make you do some hard thinking, because it makes sense. We were essentially, we are some, at least according to Sitchin's theories, some form of hybrid, some sort of cross between some earth animal that they found, some ape, primate species, and themselves. And they created what the Bible calls Adam, or Adam and Eve. Sitchin refers, or the actually some of the ancients referred to this early race, this primal race that was the forefathers and foremothers of us all, mankind, humanity, as the Adama. And we were created to be essentially slaves, workers. We were made less strong, according to the theories, and more intelligent. They somehow implanted some of their DNA within us, or within the primate that they deemed as a usable animal, if it were only made a little, little less dangerous, and a little more intelligent, able to carry out, commands. So they looked around and they they found the animal, if you will, that was going to be the most suitable for their needs. Was going to be, you know, among the most intelligent, nimble, agile, of creatures that they could find on this planet at that particular point in the history of this planet. But whatever creature that they found, a creature supposedly we are descended from, in part, you know, it wasn't exactly what they needed. You know, they needed something more than what they could find, and they could get it through the magic of bioengineering. And now we know how to bioengineer. And we've got our sights set on the stars. So, at least in those two ways, probably others, we're a lot like this race of beings that Sitchin tells us about. And maybe someday, you know, we'll do the same thing. Maybe we'll have to. We keep polluting our atmosphere. We're either going to have to die, or we're going to have to find a way to fix our atmosphere and do what they did. You know, fly off to some other planet, some other star system, or somewhere else. Find the natural ingredients that we need to find the fix, the cure for the problem. Or we may just have to leave the earth, period, just to survive. And you know, like I said, it makes sense. It kind of reveals some possible secular pattern that exists within the universe. You know, one race from one planet spawns another on another planet. And so it goes on to infinity. But, you know, we were created essentially all those years ago to be a workforce, to do what they wanted, to be obedient, to carry out orders, to be slaves, really.
Well, for sure we know we had a theory of them using us as inferior beings. And as you can see, we are still looking around for leaders to tell us what to do. So obviously there's some interesting, at least symbolic associations between Mr. Sitchin's theories and our even present day behavior as we observe it.
Well, in the context of Sitchin's writings, as I recall, we find these two leading characters. Characters that the ancients apparently viewed as gods, some kind of gods. The ancient Sumerians, Mesopotamians, perhaps the Hebrews. Hebrews just gave them different names. Sitchin sees them, of course, as some higher form of alien being, some form of life, some form of intelligence, probably physical in nature, that ruled over us at that time. At least according to various tablets, the various ancient writings that Sitchin has unearthed, discovered, read, scrutinized, analyzed, interpreted, all of that. And anyway, as the story goes, these two characters, gods, alien beings, their names were Enki and Enlil. They had a certain conflict of interest. Enki was the first prince of this world, king of this world, according to these ancient writings. Somehow his power was usurped by Enlil. And Enki and Enlil had very opposing views on how this race should be viewed. So Enki decides that he's going to go to this new race that he was instrumental in creating and reveal to them certain things, give them certain knowledge, certain wisdom. And Enlil is totally opposed to this. As far as he's concerned, you know, we don't need the knowledge. It's only going to be detrimental to their purposes, perhaps to us, as you have said, you know. Maybe we were created with some sort of buffer so that we could only become just so intelligent or evolved. This story is quite similar, of course, to the story in Genesis, the story of Nahash and Eve, the serpent and Eve. The serpent, most of us know, have heard, read, in Genesis comes to Eve and says, well, why don't you eat of this fruit of the tree of the knowledge of Tav and Ra, the knowledge of good and evil? And of course, as the story goes, she eats of the apple, and then she cajoles her husband Adam to do the same. Jehovah finds out and decides to punish Adam and Eve as well as Nahash. You know, from that day on, they're thrown out of the garden.
Well, you know, it's sort of a funny thing. You know, we could have just as well eaten off the tree of life first, because that was there, and then not have been penalized as much, or if at all, of eating off the tree of knowledge. The symbolism is open to a million interpretations, but one is that you don't want slaves to have any free choice. That's the first thing you don't want.
Right.
So that's why you have standardized education. You don't have the same kind of education as you did in the days of the Greeks and in the days of the ancient ones. You know, here what we're trying to do is, in this generation, is to create techno-bureaucrats, and you don't want them to have too much knowledge. You don't want them to have any real wisdom or any real understanding, because then they're dangerous. You just want them to have skills and to obey. The first rule of all religion and of all power systems is obey. Obey or else. How can something be immoral in Nevada and not in New Jersey? Or how could be something be immoral in New Jersey and not in Arizona? If you could get caught with a hollow point bullet in New Jersey, you could go to jail for 5 years. Here, everybody has them. What's the difference? Space and time? That's the difference. So that is moral, so-called pseudo-moral law at a low level of contemplation. But still, you simply want the beast that's under your control to obey. That's the primary rule. And whatever story of the fall we have is a story of lack of obedience and lack of intelligence, in a sense, because, as I said, let's pretend for a moment that Mr. Adam and Mrs. Eve could have walked over to the Tree of Life and eaten off that first. And then they would have been immortal like us, like the gods themselves. Right. And then they could have eaten off the Tree of Knowledge and the Tree of Good and Evil, if you would. But someone would say, well, maybe they wouldn't know to eat off the Tree of Life because they first had to eat off the Tree of Knowledge to know that if they ate off the Tree of Life first, that would be good for them. But you can play it any way you want, but the idea is obedience. That's the key concept. This is why when we do magical operations and we invoke something, we want it to obey us. We don't want it to gain control over us. So control and obedience and power are the main creatures of all of this dynamic.
And which would have emanated from the Jehovah God, or the God that kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden.
Yeah, I mean, he knew what the results, we'll accept all their assumptions, he knew what the results were going to be. Because obviously they didn't have free will then, did they? And even if they did, in theory, in ultimate theory, there is nothing that happens that he doesn't know of in that particular model of God. These are called models of God. And if you want to understand a group of people or any person, is you look at the model of God that they hold. And you watch the dynamics, how it unfolds, and what the rules are, and what the game plan is. And then you have an understanding of them.